being all that you can be as a parent. Today, we take a look at parenting, raising our kids for the glory of Christ. Here's Pastor Chris to begin today's program.
We have to recover together as families the importance of coming together and worshiping the Lord. That the splendor, worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness, enjoying Him in worship, is one of the great things we can do to keep our families and help our families so that they would grow more in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
There is an awful lot that our children have to put up with. Not only is it a technologically advanced age, it seems to be an abandoning age as well. Welcome to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today we're in studio talking to Pastor Chris about our children. How do we best raise them to the glory of Christ? What are some do's and don'ts? A practical time with Pastor Chris is straight ahead, so let's get started. And of course, in studio time with Pastor Chris always gives us a chance to address some topics and issues that are current outside of the normal pulpit ministry we normally present here on Abounding Grace Radio on a Monday or Tuesday. Chris, thanks for being in studio with us this morning. We want to take a look at children, our kids. It's a hot-button topic in most churches these days. And, of course, you've got kids in the home. I've got kids in the home. And we are seeing some real changes. And I'm not just saying changes in our culture, although they are there, but also what really is starting to change. And I think this is where we need to go today on the program. This idea and notion that we can take care of our kids in the church, and then all of a sudden, what we're seeing is they're coming of age and they're leaving the church. And they're not just leaving the church, but they're leaving the church in droves. And so that is where we want to begin today's program, Chris. If you could take a moment and let's just get things started right there, shall we?
This is a big issue. Where are all our young people going? That's the question. And churches are incessantly worried about this question and this problem. That a lot of them, when they head off to college, they have either abandoned the church and left Christianity, or they don't come back and value the church at all. The values they were raised with seem to be gone, and this has caused a sort of crisis for parents today to try to hold on to their young people. So, you know, one of the things that we have done in the church is sort of now build the church aiming it all for the young people, and I'm sure we'll talk about that. Is that a helpful way to address this problem? I think first you have to get to the root of the problem, and that's a little painful because typically when we're asking these questions, you know, we're asking them at the end of a long problem. In other words, a lot of times people will look at this and say, okay, well, we have this problem. Young people are leaving. We have to do something right now.
Right.
And first off, whenever we're in panic mode, nothing ever really goes well. The decisions we make never are really implemented well, nor are they great decisions. The right sort of way to start thinking is to say, well, where along the way did we go wrong? Hmm. What have we missed? What can we improve for the next generations? What is the root of the problem here? And I think those are the things that have to first sort of be addressed when it comes to this issue. I can go all the way back, if you want, Andy, to what I think are some of the real challenges today, looking at mainly how our young adults relate to the church and Christianity, and then also particularly how they're responding to the culture in light of everything that's happening and being pushed on them with these values they were raised and trained with. I go back all the way back to the day that we sent them out of the church. You know where that is, Andy? We sent them out ourselves.
Yes.
In other words, they say that in developmental patterns, you know, those first years of life are very important, right? Those first 3 to 5 years.
Yeah. Well, yeah. One through five. What was it? Stalin said, give me a child till he's five. I'll have him for life.
Yeah. I mean, it's just absolutely true. The nurture and care that children need to the fifth year is just absolutely crucial for the trajectory of their life. We know this. We know this. Studies have shown us this and taught us this. What then are we teaching them with regard to the church if we have children's church and we're sending them out of the place where God's people gather for worship? If in those crucial formative years they are taught that they're not really a part of it, and that they're separate from it. And we send them out to do something different than what the adults do. What are we training them? Are we not already planting the seeds for their departure? And I would say yes. I'm unequivocal about this. I'm clear about this. If there's any Christians listening today to the program, there's a widespread phenomenon called children's church, and I flat out reject it. I don't think it's right. I don't think it's helpful.
That's not the pattern we see in Scripture, is it? I think of Ezra. I mean, you go back to Ezra, when the priests are addressing the congregation. That's everybody. There was no children's church there, was there?
Yeah, I mean, when they all gathered around in Nehemiah's day, you know, when they came around, there was a familial, corporate, covenantal approach to gathering at worship. And one of the beauties of worship is that it represents every single age. It should not only represent every single ethnicity and people and kind and tongue and kindred, all that. It should also represent every age. And I think what we see today is, you know, everyone's sort of concerned about this. You have churches that are just full of older people, or you've even had when the whole Acts 29 thing became popular, and now it's not so much anymore, but it was all full of young adults. It's never healthy to have one age group represented, only one age group that is dominating, you know, the whole place of the church. The church is meant to represent every age group. So what I'm making a case for here is that from the beginning, we need to train our children that they're part of the church, that they're not sent out. Let me give you a beautiful story the other day. I'm preaching, and I like to use rhetorical questions when I preach. I think it's an effective tool. I ask a question, and there's a visiting family there, and a little tiny girl was in the worship service. And she belted out the answer and got it right. And the whole place erupted in laughter. But it was this great moment, because not only did I stop and say that was precious, I couldn't help it. It was just, she answered the question perfectly. But the point is, she was listening. She was hearing. I don't know what age she must have been. She couldn't have been over 5 years old. She was younger than that. So I was mesmerized by that for a moment, thinking the children take in much more than we realize. So I guess what I'm saying here is that the idea of children's church, of sending them out, is already communicating to them the wrong things. They're already told to be separate from their parents and from the big people. And in our day, what is the great problem of young adults? They're not growing up till after 30. So if you have between 20 and 30, they've already been told that they don't really belong with the big people. They're not really growing up till 30 years old. Well, no wonder we're seeing very few, and our biggest challenge is ages 20 to 30, leaving the church. They've never been really taught they're a part of it. So I find that to be a big challenge today that I think churches need to rethink. And another thing is the family aspect to this.
Amen.
One of the beauties of worship is sitting together as a family, isn't it? Fathers and mothers and children. That's a beautiful thing. That's how God made us. And to worship together as families is exactly what God intended for us to do, not to be separate.
But then, Chris, doesn't that say something about the family life as well? I mean, right now we're inside the confines of the church building, quote unquote. But doesn't that say something subtly about the home life or lack thereof, and then a call to return and restore some semblance of that home life and what it should look like the other 6 days of the week at home?
Right. Okay. That was the second area I was going to address is the table. You know, even who I would never go to as the light for anything, you know, of Christianity and spirituality, according to the scriptures. But even Oprah said that the greatest thing that's been lost in the American household is the kitchen table.
Hmm.
In other words, they know, sociologists know, they know that there's something, what is the most intimate, close, binding time we have as our families? It is to enjoy a meal together.
Right.
That is a wonderful blessing that we have to get together and enjoy a meal around a table. That is something that that has been practiced in every family since the beginning of time, because they knew that that was a time, a bonding time for a family. Well, think about this as a Christian family. Think about the beauty of this, of being able to come around the kitchen table and share a meal, thanking the Lord for his blessings, recognizing where they come from, stopping from all the busyness of life, and then reading the scriptures, praying together for each other, learning each other's concerns, learning your children's needs. They're going through all kinds of struggles in life. They're going through all kinds of discouragements. I think I saw today, I saw a commercial the other day. They said the average time that people have with their children, parents have with their children daily, is something like 32 minutes.
That's sad.
Oh my. Well, okay, so the kitchen table is given to us, and we have this opportunity to read the scriptures, to pray with them, to talk to them, to train them, to instruct them. But here's what's happened today. And almost across the board, the kitchen table is completely neglected. And I'm not speaking on some sort of, you know, ivory tower here. This is a struggle for us, me.
Right.
We're running around everywhere, hauling around kids to practices, and we're busy, and we've got this, and we've got that. And I constantly say to my wife, we always have to make the kitchen table a priority. It's a fight for us. It's a struggle for us, but it has to be our priority. Somebody once told me, I said, you know, people make a lot of excuses about their busyness. Isn't it interesting how busy we all are today with all of our modern conveniences? Everyone's busy. Everyone's running around, and we've got time to do what we really want to do, don't we? that's the reality. You know, my friend said, people do what they want to do. And that's exactly true. If you want to make the table a priority at some time throughout the course of your day with your family, you will. You will. You'll find that time. And that's an encouragement to parents to do so. It's a wonderful way. Now, I'm not saying that's the only way it has to be, but I'm saying that there has to be a family gathering time again. Yeah. And if that, just like the church, if we've removed children from the church, and then we're not giving them any nurture or training around the table, what are we setting them up for? Isn't that a right question to ask? Yeah. You know, what are we setting them up
also,
for?
Also, well, here's the other thought that's tandem to that. How often have you actually stopped when your child has expressed something of concern in their life and you've pulled them aside and prayed for them? How often do we pray for them on a daily basis, pray with them? How many times have our kids actually caught us praying for them? Do we value them enough to be able to do these things on a regular basis, right?
Right. And this gets to priorities in life. You know, I always say, you know, I've told this to people, but my single great prayer for my children is, Lord, don't let them leave this earth until they know you and are saved by you. That's my greatest concern. And if that prayer is answered, and as a father, I'm calling out to the Lord, praying for them. Who else is praying for your child in this life by name to the Lord? I mean, that's an interesting question and kind of a sad question, isn't it? The reality is, it may be that in the course of our children, very, very few prayers have ever been made to the throne of grace for them. Well, that's what we need to recover. So I understand the challenges of this. I understand the hardships and challenges, but I think if we're going to, this gets back to the initial question of where are young people going? We have to go back to first principles, don't we? We have to go back to helping families recover, especially young families, what this is. Now, I think we need to help those families that say, oh man, I've really messed up. You know, what father hasn't said, my priorities have been wrong. I have not given my attention to my wife the way that I want to love her. I've not loved my family the way that I want. I'm a giant failure. What now? And I think we have to help.
Okay. We can come up with something else to talk about, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, and I want to leave this, you know, this broadcast today with a message of encouragement for maybe there's parents listening who are in that predicament, because this can be really distressing when you think about your failures as a parent. And
yeah,
and we all do. I mean, that's the reality. Nobody is a perfect parent. And I've seen the strangest of situations in the Christian life, you know, where parents who have been neglectful have sometimes had some of the most godly children come out, and you stand back and you say, look at the grace of God there. I mean, it's just really remarkable. And then I've seen parents who've been really devoted and really committed, and things have not turned out as well as they expected, or things went really south. And that's an extremely hard situation for parents to deal with. So we recognize that it's not always so much a recipe, just do this, do this, do this, and then here's the end product, here's the result. But it does say that the general truth, the general rule, right? It's not an automatic, but the general rule of train up a child in the way that he should go, and in the end he won't depart from it. As a general rule, that is true. That is true.
Yeah, it's a rule, not a salvific promise.
Right. It's what I'm saying. It's not automatic. It's not saying if I do this, this is going to happen. It's saying this is a wisdom principle, that if you train your children in what's most important in the course of their lives, they're generally going to value that.
Exactly. Good or bad. We want to make that all about just good, but it can be bad as well. No matter which way you train, it's a horticultural word that is used there, right? That I train a tree to go this way, and that's the way it's probably going to go.
And that's absolutely true. I mean, what we value in the home, it's a important thing to think about. You know, where are my priorities as a parent? Is it into making a lot of money, into having, you know, the home of my dreams? Is it into all these things? Is that what my kids are seeing me live for? Or are they seeing me love what is most important, the scriptures and the Lord, in response to his love for me? I once read a book by J.A. Alexander, and he was talking about family worship. And that's such a foreign concept today. And when I'm talking about the kitchen table, I'm really talking about gathering for family worship. There's little worship services that take place outside of, you know, Sunday worship every day when our families worship the Lord together, when they pray, when they sing to him, when they talk to him, when they encourage one another, right? But he said, if there's a rebellious child in the home and a rebellious child that's not listening, he said that the greatest restraint and the greatest conviction for that child is to see a father who has tears, a father who cares, a father who prays for him. That has the greatest effect, so that a child would say, how could I go on offending a father who loves me this much? That should be the effect that has on our children, of such care for them, that we want to see them go in the right way and not the wrong way. Now, there's so much to talk about here. So I guess I would first say, you know, those are the early stages and development that we can really help our children with laying in sort of in concrete what is most important, right? And in their development. But one of the things that I think when it comes to the church is, it comes back to the church now, is what is the parent's attitude to the church? You know, a lot of children who end up leaving the church and abandoning it is simply due to the fact that their parents have always been critical of it and have never really shown the value of it or appreciation for it as they should. So they've been critical of the church, and they've never really seen their parents appropriate their faith in such a way that has made a difference in their lives.
It really is a challenge for parents, you're talking up the right tree on this one. It is hard, and with purpose and intent. Now, my wife and I will sit there and discuss concerns maybe privately, but with forethought and intent, we will always find the positive aspects of our worship and the church we are attending in front of our children.
There you go.
That's something that has to be really developed and disciplined on, at least from a parental perspective.
It is absolutely remarkable that what you know this, Andy, as a parent, that what we value, isn't it amazing how our children follow in line? Just even from the early stages, you know, they love daddy. They want to do just what daddy does. They want to follow in the same footsteps. And how many of our young people follow in the same footsteps, even in vocation and jobs, as their parents? The way that we're trained, the influences that we have by our parents affect the children, and our values do. So if I see a parent who's growing in grace, who's loving the Lord, whose heart is being changed by the scriptures, that's going to have an effect on the children, especially when he speaks well of the church and is growing from the ministry of the church. But if it's one of complaining and no heart in it and just sort of, you know, routine and duty, we got to go to church today, you know, and there's just no real taking it in and believing what we're doing and that example set before the children, that will have an effect on them. And I want to say, you know, encourage parents here this way then, because I know we're coming to the end of this program. If somebody comes and says, well, okay, I've not done things well the way that I've wanted to do them. How do I recover this? It's never too late. It's never too late. I want to tell you one quick story, Andy, and then I know we got to close the program today, but my father's a perfect example. We did church for years, and I don't think he was a believer. And he was converted later in life. And I witnessed as a son in that father a real change. I saw him when he died. I got his books. I couldn't believe all the notes and highlights in the Bible and in the books of how much this man had read and grown. I didn't get that early on. But I can tell you this. That sort of change in his life greatly affected me. The gospel had won him. And when he died, I wanted to look like that. So it's never too late. It's never too late. And I hope that encourages parents today. It's never too late.
When you find critical thoughts about your time at the church that you worship at, do you pray for your pastor? Do you pray for the church? Is that a constant in your life? It does change the way you view how you worship God a lot when you start praying for those elements that you're not a fan of. And then also, I think, Chris, for myself and my children, I have purposefully always dealt with going to church as we get to. I got this moment. Been busy all week. You and I, we got a moment. Hey, let's get together. Wow, really? How amazing is that, right?
Right. I mean, we have to recover together as families the importance of coming together and worshiping the Lord, that the splendor, worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness, enjoying him in worship is one of the great things we can do to keep our families and help our families so that they would grow more in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, there is more ground to cover. We're not quite done with this topic yet, so we will reserve tomorrow's broadcast to pick up where we left off and continue our look at what it means to raise our children to the glory of God and for His glory. And this is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Well, in closing our time together today, I'm reminded of other resource materials we have available at our website that would complement what we've heard today. agradio.org is a great place to go if you would like to know more about us and take advantage of other resource materials we have there. And if you have a question that you would like to address Pastor Chris with, maybe today's broadcast has sparked a thought or two, a question, please, by all means, send it off to us. Now, you can either email that to us through our website, agradio.org, or better yet, voice it through your voice memo app. Record your question, your name, and where you're calling from, and then send that to questions@agradio.org. That's questions@agradio.org. You're also welcome to reach us by phone. The number is 888-504-8805. Abounding Grace Radio is also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can visit our website for links to the platform that you prefer to follow. One final note as we close out our program today, we are listener-supported, which means friends of the ministry come alongside and partner with us financially and prayerfully, ensuring that this program continues right here on this radio station. You see, we look to friends like you to help ensure that this broadcast continues to spread the gospel of grace wherever we're at. If you would like to be a part of that, a small gift, large gift, one time or an ongoing monthly gift, we'd love to hear from you. agradio.org. You can give securely online, 888-504-8805, or write to us, Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to seeing you next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.